I had achieved at a very young age what people dream their whole lives to achieve. So, you know, in my early 20s, I had sort of arrived. You know, I was on television, I was traveling the world, I was making a good living financially, but I was definitely struggling with some things internally. And, you know, I've always believed in God. I've always been a seeker of deeper things. And I think because I was really struggling, you know, I was chain smoking. I had all sorts of issues with body image and my weight, which I think most women struggle with. But then being a dancer and an actress just really exaggerated that. So I was really just tormented inside of myself. And, you know, interestingly, whenever I talk about weight issues or body image issues, people always say, oh, well, you know, is there a time where you were overweight? And I kind of forget that people would maybe think that. So I was never overweight. I was always, my whole life, I've been very thin and very fit. So you couldn't really see what I was dealing with on the outside, but internally I was just completely consumed with dieting or binging and purging, or, you know, what I would eat in a day, what I would not eat, how I looked. I was just living in bondage. And so because of that, it really drove me to seek answers. And I grew up in Southern California, and when you're seeking help and growth and God, usually you really kind of bump into the New Age movement because that's so prevalent in that area. So I started doing all of that. I was meditating and doing yoga and reading self-help books. And it was kind of funny. Years later, you know, God kind of spoke to me in my spirit, and he said, you know, I kind of got a revelation that self-help is a little bit of a oxymoron, because it was really myself that was the problem. And with self-help, you're looking to yourself to get out of the problem. But if myself knew what the heck it was doing, I would have been, you know, I would have been in bondage in the first place. So, I started to realize that, you know, I needed something greater than myself. And there's even a wonderful quote that I came upon that Einstein said. He said, no problem can be solved by the same level of consciousness that created it.
So you've written this book that's called Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. And I just love that you said, well, goodness, if we knew how to do that, then we wouldn't be in the mess we were in. So when did you come to the point where you started learning a little bit about who this Jesus Christ person was? And you had a great story, a couple of great stories that I loved, but why don't you just tell the story of how you first came to know who Jesus Christ was?
Okay, well, you know, because like I shared, I was doing the New Age type of spiritual practice, but I wasn't getting free. You know, I was in Hollywood, I was successful, I was doing all of those things that are supposed to give you, you know, all the peace and joy in the world, but I didn't have all the peace and the joy in the world. So I was still searching, I was still open, and I had some people talk to me about Christianity. And because I was searching, I was open to it, but I have to be honest and say that I didn't really see a lot of representations of Christianity that I connected with. I didn't, you know, I'd seen like Christian television, and I wasn't sure about that. And you know, I just wasn't sure that there could only be one way to God. And I wasn't sure what being a born again Christian meant. You know, once I got born again, did it mean I had to like sell everything and move to Africa? And, you know, did I have to be really conservative? Like, you know, what did it mean? And one of the things that I was really just seeking some answers. So I think there's a couple stories that you mentioned. The first thing was, I said, okay, God, I was in my car one day, and I said, all right, God, look, you know, I believe in you. I'm open to the truth. If there really is something to Jesus, then just make it clear to me. Give me a sign. Give me something, and I will investigate further. I'll look at the Bible, because here I was reading every God type of book there was, every spiritual book, but I never actually opened the Bible. So I said, God, you know, help me out here. Give me a sign about Jesus. So I'm in my car driving while I'm praying this, and on the freeway, and all of a sudden I notice that I've got a huge pack of the Hell's Angels bikers around my car. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how ironic. You know, I'm praying to God and I'm surrounded by Hell's Angels. And they all look really tough. And, you know, they've got the leather jackets on, and I've got a couple bikers in front of me. I've got a few on either side of my car. I'm completely encompassed. So I look, and I've got two bikes in front of me, and, you know, the guys have leather jackets on, and I look a little more closely, and there are big crosses on the back of their jackets. And over the crosses, it says, "We ride for Jesus."
That is hilarious. So, I just started laughing. I mean, I'm like, God has such a good sense of humor.
God has a great sense of humor. And this is what I was learning about God, that he, you know, he'll talk to us. The Bible says he talks to us in obscure ways, in various ways. And he will talk through a pastor or through a sermon or through his word, but he'll also talk through, you know, a billboard or bikers on the road. You know, he's always trying to talk to us. And that's what's so beautiful. So at that point, I just started laughing. I said, okay, this is really funny. I'm asking for a sign about Jesus, and I've got Jesus bikers all around me. So I was like, you know, Lord, just, you know, keep leading me. I didn't obviously become a Christian in that one second, but I knew that God was taking me down a path. So there was another moment where I just, you know, I had that worldly mindset of what being a Christian meant, and I really felt that I was scared. I was scared to make the decision because I thought that God would want to take everything from me. You know, he'd want to take away my personality. He'd want to take away me having fun. He'd want to take away all the things that I loved and turn me into this kind of cookie cutter version of this born again Christian me. So again, I said, God, you know, help me out. Give me some insight here. And I don't know how this happened, but like I said, God speaks in obscure ways. I was reading some magazine article and it was all about Michelangelo, who is the famous artist, if anyone doesn't know. He painted the Sistine Chapel. He sculpted David, you know, numerous works of art. So I'm reading this article about Michelangelo, and it says that when he went to sculpt, he would stand in front of a huge piece of marble. And instead of trying to create a statue or a work of art, he would actually see the finished masterpiece inside the marble. And all he would do was chip away at the excess that was keeping it from being what it already was.
Hmm.
And when I read that, something just went off in my spirit. I felt again like God said, that's who I am. If you will come to me, I'm not going to take anything from you that you love. All I'm going to do is chip away at all the excess, the bondage, the torment, the addiction, the anxiety, the fear. All I'll do is chip away at all that excess that's burdening you and keeping you from being the masterpiece that I've created you to be. That's who I am. You know, I'm not a controlling God. I'm a God who wants to set you free so that you can, you know, you can live in purpose. You can walk in destiny. You can do all of those things. And that, Joe, was a huge turning point for me right then.
Where do you think that comes from, Robia, where that fear that if we come to know God, that we'll have to give up this, the special uniqueness of who we are? Where do you think that comes from?
You know, I think it comes maybe from the media as part of it. I don't see, you know, Christianity or God represented in a way always that's accurate, especially the mainstream media, you know, Hollywood. You know, some of us have situations with our parents or father figures that could be maybe not all that we wanted them to be, so that we kind of impose that, you know, that onto God, that he's going to be harsh or he's going to be, you know, unloving or condemning. I think often religion is portrayed that way, you know, that God is all about you sinner and hellfire and damnation and when we really actually know the nature of God, you know, what I learned is that that's not God's nature. He's not ever going to shame us or be critical of us, that sometimes there's conviction where he wants to change us, but it's not from a shaming place. It's never, oh, you bad, bad Christian, you know, look at what you're doing bad. Usually it's that conviction of just love, which is, you know, God's not judging us for doing all these bad things, but he wants to help us get out from under, you know, making those choices, because really it's those choices that are keeping us in bondage. And God loves us and wants to set us free.